Hey family, this is Mama T. Welcome to another Gift of Life show. How is your day or evening? Hey, how's your life going? Pretty good? Good. It should be, because you know what? Life is a gift. And this show is a gift of life to you. Praise the Lord. Thanks for joining us. Hey, I'm continuing my long series in Luke 15 on the prodigal child or the prodigal son. Wow, this parable is seriously a gem. It is so powerful. And when you really get into it, you really begin to see yourself. If you take an honest look and you see the love of God in a brand new light. Praise God. If you haven't read this story or studied it lately, I encourage you to get in it. Hey, I just want to just give a shout out to all the people that are praying for us here in Portland, Oregon, back east and in the south. We just want to just thank all of you for your prayers and supporting us by listening, and even people that want to send money in to support our CUBU Women's Conference coming up in April. We just thank you for that. We'll be giving you more information as it develops in the power of the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get on into this. Is number... Let's see, this would be number five. This is number five about the prodigal son, but I'm going to break it up in two parts. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right one. It's number 5A, okay, because it's, I don't want to miss too much of this. I really want to take my time and go through this, because this is my first time doing a series on the prodigal son, and not just the son, but also the whole context is about those three lost things, the sheep and the coin and the son, and they are all related. And we'll see how they just kind of blend in the progression of the Father's love. That's really the key point of these parables. So, and if you missed any of them, go back to www.lovebyexample.com. Let me open up with this verse. In Acts chapter 3, I love this. See if you can find these three R's. Actually, four. I discovered four. In Acts chapter 3, now this is after Peter is preaching, well, he's been preaching to the scribes and the Pharisees and the doubters about who Jesus Christ was. And he's basically telling them they need to repent, you know, and ask for forgiveness for the things that they did towards the Lord Jesus Christ. This is after his resurrection and ascension and the birth of the church. And so right here in verse 19, he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Isn't that beautiful? Did you see those four R's in there? Repent. We talked about that the last show on the prodigal, about he was repenting, changing his mind, having second thoughts about his condition and coming up with a plan to go back home. And then refreshing. So when there's a repentance, a sincere, godly sorrow of your sins, there comes a refreshing of thinking and thoughts and just the emotions. We talked about repentance starts between your ears, changing the way you think. And then a refreshment comes, and then you receive. You're received and you receive from the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's restoration. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that verse. And that is just such a beautiful picture of salvation. And we talked about that. Now, before we get into the prodigal coming home, I really wanted to go back over the debauchery situation that he found himself in, because he was so selfish, so self-centered, hated his father, wished he was dead, and just wanted what he wanted right then and right there. Now, this son was very, very foolish and very, very selfish. But listen, I wanted to bring up another son that was raised in the Old Testament, and he came up against the same kind of dilemma, but he made a different choice, and it was Moses. Listen to this. Most of you know and seen the movie The Ten Commandments, but listen to this. There came a time in Moses' life he had to make a dramatic choice. And right here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I just want you to see that. Sin, spun by Satan, is deceiving and makes you think that it can be pleasurable. And it can, but for a season. At the end, it brings forth death. It does, because it feeds our flesh. It feeds the carnality of our being. It feeds the me, myself, and I. But bottom line is, that is not all who you are. You are more than just a blob of flesh. You were created in the very image of God to glorify Him and to get to know Him and experience His fulfillment so that you can defeat that sin that will ultimately lead you to death. Really. Now, death just means separation from God. Eternally, that's terrible. But even practically in your everyday lives. And sin, I always call it, I love what Tony Evans says, I call it sin's ally. That's what Tony Evans says. Sin is Satan's ally. And I want to tell you right here before I get even into the story, if you haven't read or memorized Romans 7, you need to memorize Romans 7. Because I hear a lot of gospel preachers and people talking about Satan this, Satan that, and Satan, Satan, Satan. But it's not just Satan. There's another enemy between our ears, and it's Satan's lying thoughts. And I've talked about that through all my shows, about those toxic thoughts. And Romans 7 is a great passage, a great testimony from the Apostle Paul that teaches us that we are still going to sin as born-again believers. We do every day, whether we're aware of it or not. But God's grace is sufficient, and where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Because to be perfect, you have to keep the whole law and the character of God 100%. You've got to love Him 100% and love your neighbors 100% without any deviation. Well, none of us can do that. But in Christ Jesus, His Spirit gives us the power and the forgiveness to love God and our neighbors as we love ourselves. So, and when we mess up, which we will, we get to confess and repent, and that grace is still sufficient to forgive us because Jesus Christ took care of it at the cross. So, but what I want to emphasize here is just go back and look at the horribleness and the condition that the prodigal son found himself in before he returned home. Now, it just says, I'm reading from John MacArthur's little booklet. It's really good. It's called Grace to You or For You. And it's talking about the compelling story of God's redemption. So I'm just taking little parts out and I'll just kind of emphasize it. But here he talks about in verse, goes back to 13, where he says that, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So John MacArthur says here, basically, he liquidated everything. What he wanted was the cash. He didn't want whatever the father gave him. He liquidated that and turned that into cash. And then it says that when he went to a far journey, he went into the Gentile area. Basically, unbelievers. He was living with unbelievers that didn't care about God, didn't care about God's character or His ways. They just lived the way they wanted to live. So he basically left his home, left his family, and left his culture, and even abandoned his faith, and went out there and scorned his father, deliberately exposing him, humiliating him in public and disgrace by doing what he did. And then John MacArthur says, if that's not bad enough, the boy began to show a low interest in his inheritance by leaving like this. And he showed this materialistic greed of foolishness and just forfeiting all things that he had with his father and his heritage just so he could go and spend it all foolishly. And John MacArthur calls him a top drawer delinquent. My goodness. You know, and so, but on top of that, that wasn't enough. He freely indulged himself in evil behavior. He just wasted. He was sensual. He was just what the word prodigal means, just wasteful. He didn't care about anybody but himself. And, you know, the thing of it is, he really looks like he could be the villain of the story. But you know what? You're going to see as we unfold this, he is not the only villain, self-righteous person in the story. And as I said, when we read about Moses, Moses was in that position too, in a sense, to where he had a choice, not leaving the father's house like the prodigal son, but he had a choice he had to make. He could have stayed in Pharaoh's mansion, and he could have lorded over his own people if he wanted to, but he chose to forsake those pleasures, that sin pleasure, for a season to follow God. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad he did. So the prodigal son, he didn't think like that. He was thinking about pleasure, and he didn't care about being dishonest. He didn't think about anybody but himself. So he goes off into this far country to waste his father's inheritance that he had received, squandered his fortune, and just was in, just doing his thing. He was having fun. He was exhibiting all kinds of gross immorality. And you know what the thing is about sin? Sin never delivers what it promises. It's only, remember what I just said earlier, it is only pleasurable for a season. And so, so that's why a lot of people really seriously are addicted to sin, because it is pleasurable for a season. That's why people get addicted to drugs. They get addicted to all kinds of evils, alcohol. They get addicted to all kinds of just anything, pharmaceutical drugs. They get addicted to even being toxic themselves. Some people, I learned this from Dr. Lee. She says a lot of people are addicted to negativity. They just they're addicted to being looked at as a victim. Poor me. Nobody likes me. So I'm just gonna, like somebody said, I'm just gonna sit around and eat a whole bunch of worms, in a sense. So they're just really addicted to people feeling sorry for them. And so, but that addiction, that is sin. And addiction is just another word for what do you call strongholds. That's what the Lord calls them, is strongholds. So anyway, sin never delivers what it promises, because he ended up running out of his money. He ran out of money. He ran out of friends. And his foolishness had caught up with him, and he had nowhere to turn to find relief. Okay, and then there was a famine in the land. If that wasn't bad enough, a famine came in the land, and he was driven to go find work, do something. And what he ended up doing, he ended up working for a non-believer that had pigs. He was had a farm full of pigs, and the horrible thing about that was that the Jewish people, they were, according to the law of the Word of God, they were thought that working with pigs or even eating pig meat was against the law and the most horrible thing that you could do in the culture of that day. But this particular prodigal son, it had driven him, this hunger, this poverty, this famine had driven him so to the point to where he was willing to even work in a place where it was forbidden for him back at home. So you can see how low he goes. I mean, he's just being forced, basically, because of his own greed, his own sin. He is being forced to live in these consequences. And you know, sin, another thing I want to tell you about sin, I remember, I look at it this way. Sin is lawlessness against God and his character. 1 John 3:4. But the way I look at it that really helps me to see it and grab it is that sin comes from Satan's words. When he speaks lies. That's John 8:44. Remember we talked about Adam and Eve, how they heard Satan's voice and they heard God's voice, but they made a choice, the wrong one. You know, I heard someone say, you can have the power to choose, but you don't have the power to choose the consequences. And then Cain's son, Adam's son, Cain, he had the power to choose right or wrong, and he chose wrong. And you know, that's the way it's always been. I mean, today, it's the same thing. I mean, there's many trees of knowledge of good and evil, many kinds of religions, many kind of philosophies and psychologies and all different knowledge, many kind of scientific things that people say, this is the way you should do that. But there's really only one tree of life. And that tree of life is in God and Jesus Christ. And divine accomplishment, what God has given us, created us in his image. We have the power to choose what he says, the creator, he should know how we work, or we just stick with our own human achievement. That's all we have. And unfortunately, this son chose to do it his way. He was going to work his life out the way he saw it. But that means he was in sin. And Romans 6, if you haven't memorized Romans 6, I encourage you to do that. Because Romans 6 tells you who you really are if you're a born-again believer. It really does. It tells you what happened to the old you and who you are now and teaches you how to live in the Spirit, according to the Word of God. It's just, it's all by faith. You just have to take this by faith and believe that when you were born again, received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the old you died. The old selfish, prodigal person that was eating and sleeping in slop and abandoning your parents and blaming everything on them and your grandparents and on your sisters and your brothers, and people don't understand you, so it's, oh me, poor me. All that is dead and gone. Dead and gone. And now there's a brand new you. Isn't that beautiful? And now you get to live and walk in a newness of life. That's what Romans 6 teaches you. So here we have this son, this prodigal son, he's at a place now where he's got to feed the pigs. Oh my gosh. He becomes a pig herder. He's out there feeding pigs, and it was a disgraceful, demeaning job. This was a job for people that were very low, low, low income, people that didn't have very good education. It was just like the bottom line kind of work. It was worse than being a janitor or something. I'm not saying being a janitor is terrible, but I'm just trying to say it was not a job that you want to brag about and say, oh, I feed the pigs. No, that was called a swine herd, and you didn't want to let people know that's what you did. Well, this is what this prodigal son had to stoop to do because of his own choices and his own foolishness. And he had to eat whatever they ate. I mean, the famine got so bad that even the pigs didn't have the right food to eat. They had to eat from what they called, pig pods. Not pig pods, but like pods. They were kind of like string bean shaped looking things, and they were like seed pods that grew in the shrubs of the trees in that particular area. But they had to eat from that. Because the famine was so poor and so food was so scarce there. Well, this particular prodigal son had to eat from those pod shells. That's what he ate. I mean, it just gets worse. Nevertheless, this prodigal, as messed up as he was and as greedy as he was and as he was devouring all this slop that he had to eat and feed on with the pigs, you know, it just says that he just continued to just live in that mess until he came to his senses. You know what? No one there gave him anything. He had to, all his friends were gone. He was, and he was as low as you could get. This guy had gone rock bottom. Sin had taken him out. And this is what I have in my book on page 115 about sin. I got this from, I believe it's from Andrew Womack, but I loved it. And it says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what sin does. Sin is deceiving. It comes from the devil, and he wants you to think that if you just ignore God, leave him alone, leave the Father's house, do it your way, that everything's going to work out fine. But it doesn't. And the thing is, you don't have to go to this extreme to recognize that you're messed up. You could be on the other spectrum where you got all these riches. You know, all these movie stars have all these clothes and money and cars and the lights and the glamour. But you know what? A lot of those movie stars are not happy on the inside. We've seen stories and very sad endings to a lot of young people and older people that have committed suicide, taken their lives, because money and all those things don't fill that emptiness that God has put in our heart. It's only God. And when sin gets through with you, I'm telling you, it just leaves you stranded. Leaves you stranded and broken. And this is what happened to this particular son, the prodigal son. And you know what? The prodigal son, really, and the prodigal story here, here, it is, if you really look at this and take an honest look at this, you're going to see yourself in this, because really it's a picture of the lost person without God. Every one of us were born prodigal children. We were all born in sin. We were slaves to sin, slave to Satan, slaves to ourselves. In other words, we were all prodigal sons and daughters. We really were. And every one of us were guilty of being self-indulgence, of being focused on ourselves, of snatching and taking things from others that didn't belong to us. Every one of us were guilty of that. And we resisted. I did. I resisted God's grace for a long time. I didn't get born again until 1984, you know, my late 30s or early 30s. And so it's like we resisted. A lot of people are resisting God. They're being in this, living this prodigal mentality. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that when we live like that, that we're really the living dead. It says that we're dead and we're lost in our sins. And so somewhere, somehow, we have to come. People need to come to their senses like the prodigal son did. Because remember what it says right here after all he went through. I mean, I just touched on a little bit of his dilemma that he was in. But it says, but when, in verse 17, but when he came to his senses, and remember I talked about that, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he says, how many of my father's hired servants had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? See? After all that radical, crazy, foolish living and stooping down so low, he realized, my father's servants live better than I do. So then he began to think. He began to change the way he was thinking and went into that plan. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer to be called thy son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Wow. See that? And so I read last time all the way down how the father responded to him. We're going to get into that the next thing. But I just wanted you to see how low this prodigal son went, which is a picture of some of us. Now, I was down low too. Before I met the Lord and before I turned from my sins, I was in a horrible situation. I was a single parent with four kids. I was working, trying to feed them and trying to keep the rent going over my head with my kids, keeping them in school, and I was doing a rotten job of it. I was a liar, a cheater, I was promiscuous, I was doing whatever I could to keep a roof over my kids' heads. And it was tough, believe me. My poor kids, they went without their mom for a long time because I was so busy just trying to survive. And I even went to different churches to get help and assistance. And oh boy, I won't even go into that. Not that they didn't help me, but boy, it was at a price. And so bottom line is, when I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired, I turned to the Lord and I cried out to him and I asked him to help me. I was destitute. I was lost. I needed some help. The people that I thought were my friends, the karate people I thought that were my friends, they weren't there. They weren't there when it came down to it. And my kids were losing. They were losing their mom. They had already lost their dad. They were losing their mom. And I knew I had to hold on to them, but I didn't have anything to hold on with until I cried out to God. And he heard my cry. And I repented of my sins. I confessed my sins. And I gave my life to him. And that's when my life began to change in 1984. When he began to take off the old sinful prodigal ways of my life and crucify them. And the main thing that I was holding on to was my karate, my black belt, my fame and fortune, the money that I got. He began to strip me. And that's when he began to show me the book of Ephesians and the armor of God. And from chapter 6 in Ephesians all the way to chapter 1, he began to show me who he was and his love and welcomed me in with open arms. And my life has not been the same since. And I'm so thankful and so grateful. Hey, I gotta go. I love you. I want you to know that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. God bless you.
I I'll take you there.
Help me. Help me. I'll take you there.
I'll take you there.
Take my hand now. In KwaZulu Natal, around the world,
take you there.
For with God, nothing shall be
take
impossible. We invite you,
take you there.
To join us in spirit,
I'll
in love, peace, and harmony.
Take you
South
there.
Africa. America, Europe, Australia, Russia, Japan. We want to give you the keys to heaven, Jerusalem, salvation for everyone. We will take you there.
Thank you.